Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we're going to start out this week talking about a movie that we've talked about before, but right. This is an interview with the psychologist behind the movie Inside Out.
You know, what's funny about this interview is that when we were doing, we did a podcast mm-hmm. about this movie.
Yeah, and the link is in the show notes for the YouTube video of our...
Right, it's a wonderful movie. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you just have, this is a must-see. But we were saying then, boy, it'd be interesting to talk to the psychologist mm-hmm. behind this. Yeah. And lo and behold, here's this conversation with the right. psychologist behind the movie Inside Out.
Yeah, and what's funny but not funny is mm-hmm. the way that we're behind on things sometimes. This was a interview from 2015,
right?
July 2015, right. just around the time I think that the movie came out. So
right.
we missed this interview, but it's okay because it's great information and it fits right. with a lot of the things we've been talking about recently.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a conversation with what is his name? Dacher Keltner?
Yes, the psychologist.
Dacher Keltner.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
I think that's his name.
I went back and was listening to some of the podcasts we did last week, and I'm horrible with pronouncing names. And
well, I'm not sure how this would be. It's Dacher, and I don't know whether it be Dacher or Dacher.
Right.
But the last name is Keltner. And I give Pixar credit because they call them perfectionists, but... they went to these psychologists who specialize mm-hmm. in the study of emotion,
yeah.
And one of them happens to be this Dr. Keltner from Berkeley,
yeah.
is at UCal Berkeley, and they became consultants on this movie about
yeah.
emotions,
yeah.
and they spent quite a long time,
mm-hmm.
several years.
Right.
The director did. The director is Doctor. His last name is Doctor with an E.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And
Pete Doctor.
Right. Right, and so he spent 5 years just interviewing these two psychologists,
right.
and then they did this interview on one of them, this Dr. Keltner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and he is an expert in emotions.
Right,
and I really like some of the things that they outlined in this through this interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they talk about some of the positive
That's right.
aspects that have come out of this film.
That's right. That and what the movie got right. You know, and it was really encouraging when the interviewer asked him, what did the movie get right? And
mm-hmm.
he explained three things that he thought the movie did well
mm-hmm.
and did do accurately. And then, but especially, was the response
right.
from viewers.
Yeah.
You know, the impact that the movie had on viewers.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Well, let's talk first then about some of those things that the movie got right. There were
right.
three things, right?
Right.
What was the first thing?
First one was our emotions guide how we interpret the world, how
right.
we understand the world. And you see that with Riley. The
mm-hmm.
the girl in the movie is named Riley. She's about how old?
She
10?
Was...
10?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, middle, around 10 years old. Yeah. A preteen.
Right.
She was a preteen because the end of the movie is...
Adolescence.
And
puberty.
Puberty. Right?
What is puberty?
Puberty. Probably not important. Right? And so she's a prepubescent girl, probably about 10. And in the movie, you see her interpreting her world through the emotions that she's
right.
feeling. When she's angry,
yeah.
that's how she sees the world. When she's happy, that's how she sees the world.
Right.
So our emotions guide how we perceive the world.
Right. Well, second thing?
The second thing is emotions, they really shape how we relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave this wonderful example of when you fall in love,
mm-hmm.
all the things that you do are shaped by that emotion.
Right.
So going out and buying candy and buying
mm-hmm.
flowers and touching the person and talking to the person, pursuing the person, it really shapes our behavior. Our emotions shape
right.
our behavior. And you can see that play itself out with any emotion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're angry, you go home and do stupid things, you know, kick
right.
the dog and break things. And so our emotions guide us. And then the last one is that And I did not know about this, I'm embarrassed to say. The memories that you recall are based on your emotional state at the time.
Right.
So if you're angry, you are more apt to recall angry memories.
Right.
If you're happy, you're more apt to recall happy memories. That, to me, is one of the two or three main points in this whole interview.
Right.
Is that people should take, that I want people to take from it, is that your emotional state will influence the memories that you recall. I did not know. That's a line of research that this Keltner mm-hmm. does, that Dr. Keltner does. That's one of his areas of research. And it's something that I'm going to start incorporating into my teaching.
Right.
And I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I think that the underlying theme with all three of these main points that the film got right is that, you know, our emotional state
right.
at any particular time
mm-hmm.
influences everything.
It does. It really does.
It influences how we interact with each other.
Exactly.
It influences how we remember things that happened in the past, and it influences how we consolidate what's right. happening right now.
Exactly.
Right. So our emotional state, and it makes sense because mm-hmm. the way that our brain is even structured,
right.
the emotional centers of our brain are immediately adjacent to the memory storage sections
That's
of our
right.
brain.
They sit against each
They're
other.
They're right there.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hippocampus and Mr. Amygdala.
Right. Right.
They're right there next to each other, and so it makes sense that they would be highly related.
Right, right. And I think that was a wonderful insight. And the movie does sort of depict these three
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole notion of we recall based on how we feel is really central.
Yeah.
The other thing that he talked about that I have thought about but have never been able to use the word consolidate.
Mm-hmm.
He said that over as we age, our emotions soften.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often thought about this because as people age, they are less likely to abuse substances. People will drink all of their lives and then suddenly stop in their 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be agitated and angry and aggressive for years and years and years. And when they get to their later years, they sort of soften and mellow.
Yeah.
And he said something happens to your emotions. You know, during adolescence, boys become very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your 60s, you start to mellow.
Right.
Most people begin to mellow.
Right.
When you're So there's some... probably some brain process that occurs. It might be tied to hormones or neurotransmitters
right.
because we tend to be aggressive and assertive when we're younger and calmer and more sympathetic and empathetic when we're older. And
right.
he also made that point.
Right. And that's also how we can tell when there's something that's gone awry. When somebody has a severe form of dementia or Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
where they start becoming agitated and irritable
that's
again
right.
and it's out of character.
That's anomalous
right.
for the elderly.
Right.
But they do. They become agitated, which means something's going on
right.
here.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
it's a symptom of maybe a symptom of dementia.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that I really liked and you mentioned a moment ago
right.
is that they talked about some of the responses.
Oh, yes.
And the best was, I know that you... also really enjoyed this response where they were talking about how parents are and grandparents are writing in
yeah.
and talking about how their kids responded to
right.
this demonstration, this illustration
right.
of emotions.
You know, one of the things that we who have been in academics
mm-hmm.
And we do research and we present at conferences and it's something we laugh about that
mm-hmm.
you know you're really writing to a handful of other experts
right.
or you're presenting to a handful of other experts. And he said you know, you go to a conference and you present a paper and there are 20 people in the audience
right.
and with this movie, this psychologist, and he does it in a wonderful self-deprecating way, says you reach millions of people with a
right.
movie.
Yeah.
You know, 20 at a time at a professional conference, but suddenly you have an impact on millions of people. And he talks about some of the responses from viewers.
Yeah.
And it really is heartwarming,
yeah.
The response that he's gotten
yeah.
from many of the viewers.
Yeah.
He talked about a one man who wrote in and said it changed his marriage.
Right.
He'd been married like 23 years or something.
Yeah.
He said the movie changed his marriage because it gave him insight. But the other one was the boy, the parent of a child with autism.
Right.
And I thought
yeah.
that was really, really significant.
Yeah, and the mother wrote in and said, he told me, Mom, I get anger and fear and disgust, but I don't understand joy and sadness.
I can't imagine that this boy watched this movie and pulled that out of it.
Yeah.
You know, then, and it was very clear to him.
Yeah.
He understood these three.
Mm-hmm.
But what were the two? It was...
He did not get sadness and joy.
Sadness and joy. That's right. He said, I don't get those. And I thought, what an articulate way to say what we all try to say about children with these disorders. Yeah.
And it's good because I know therapeutically I've used it in sessions with kids where I'll ask them, have them watch the film so that we can talk about emotions and what they're feeling and which emotion is taking over at which time and who's in charge of the control deck there while they're experiencing something. And
that's right, because young children can't label emotions accurately.
Right.
They have this feeling, but they don't know what it is.
Right.
And we often forget that youngsters don't label their emotions. And even preteens may not identify their emotions accurately.
Right.
So it's very difficult for them to manage them on their own.
Which is why I think it was great that they restricted it to just five emotions.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, that was one of the criticisms, I think, that some adults who really were looking for ways to be critical of the movie, they said, oh, well, there's so many more than just five emotions. Well, sure. But arguably, some of the other emotions are various combinations of these five.
Right.
But there are some other emotions.
And he talks about that.
Yeah.
One of the interviewer asked him about that. And they went through a process. And he said there were some emotions that he wanted to include. But he said, had we included all, even 15 or 20, he said it would have been bedlam. It would have been too much going on. Because there was plenty with just those five. And he said, and he said that emotion experts typically agree that there are these five basic emotions.
Yeah.
You can add others to it.
Right.
But there are these five basic emotions.
Yeah.
So I think they were pretty on target in selecting those five.
Yeah.
But that boy with autism, that was really something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the link to this interview, the transcript of the interview, was published in the Pacific Standard, again, in July of 2015. The link to it is in the show notes, as is the link to the YouTube video of our movie review of Inside Out, where we talk about it in a little bit more detail. But definitely check out the interview. Check out Dr. Keltner's research. He's doing a lot of really interesting research
on new emotions.
It's
going to be an interesting addition to our understanding of emotion, because he's investigating some of the newer emotions that we haven't done in the past. And he also made one other point in this article, and that is that happiness is all of your emotions.
Right.
You know, if you're either yourself or your children, or if you're teaching, we have to have a full range of emotions.
Yeah.
Happiness is not just being happy. It's being able to express all of your emotions.
Yeah.
So go ahead and experience all of them.
Experience everything.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Remember the islands?
Uh-huh.
What were the islands?
Were
they the emotions?
No. The islands were things that were like Hallmark things. So there was the family island.
There was family.
And there was hockey. And there was Goofy.
The things that she did.
The
context of her life.
Right.
So she had, there was a hockey island, family island, Goofy island.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember the other ones.
But those are important. Those are all, that our emotions are in those contexts.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks a little bit about that.
Yeah.
But yes, you need a full range of emotions.
You
have to experience all of them. And there are so many families where emotions are restricted to one or two. It's okay to be angry, but you can't be sad.
Yeah.
So allow a full range of emotional expression.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right, that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy.
Stay healthy.
And forget to be afraid.